So we got to the last two lines of Yud Dalet Amud Beis Ha'erchin. So the Mishnah had said, again, we're still darshing this long Mishnah in Beis Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah said, when it came to Erchin, halacha is that when it's metaltolin, you need three people to assess the value of the Erchin. So the Gemara says, my Erchin metaltolin. What does it mean, Erchin metaltolin? The halacha is, when it comes to Erchin, firstly, there's a whole chart. There's no assessment. If a person's a certain age and a certain gender, you pay this amount of money, no matter how good or not good you are. And we don't have Erchim when it comes to Kalim either. So what does it mean Erchim from the world of Kalim? So the Rashi, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Gida, Amar Rav, Be'omer Erech Klizeh Alai. You say, the Erechim of this Kli is on me. And Rashi says, the last Rashi on the page here, Erech Lo Shayach Gavei Kalim Ela Ba'adam. Erechim only applies to a man, a person. The notes in the Fishanav, when it comes to a person, based on his age and his gender. But there's no such thing by Kalim. So when I say Erech Klizeh, I mean that the value, the actual market value of this object. Damar of Gidal Marav goes on to Daf Tezvav, Ha'omer Erech Klizeh Alai, No Sein Damav. The halacha is you pay the actual value of such a Kli. My time, and what's the reason? Because Adam Yodea She'ein Erech L'Kli, a person knows that there is no Erechin. When it comes to Kalim, the Gamar V'Amar L'Shem Damim. So when he said Erech Kli Alai, he meant to say that the actual Damim, the value, is upon me. Mishim Hachi knows in Damav, and for that reason he pays Damav, he pays the actual value of the Kli. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? But it says, Erechin Hamataltlin. It says in the Mishnah, Erechin Metaltlin. It should say, Erechin Shel Metaltlin Mibayle. That would be the more appropriate language, the Erechin of Metaltlin. So the Gemara says, Einachanami Tani Erechin Shel Metaltlin. It does say the Erechin of the value. That's what the Mishnah should have said, and that's how we view it. That's the first approach to what Erechin Metaltlin is. Rav Chista Amar Avimi Bimatvis Metaltlin Erechin. The situation where a person was toe-faced with matvis metaltin for the purpose of erchin. What does that mean? So Rashi says four lines from the top. The matvis metaltin la'erchau. Sha'amar erchi. The guy says a lie. My erchin, my value. I'm 36 years old and I'm a male, so I pay this amount of money. The Torah tells me. There's a whole chart. V'nishchayv erchah katav l'fishanav. I need to pay according to my age. V'ayelo metaltin. I've got now some money, objects. I want to pay off my debt for Erechin, so I want to use these pots and pans to pay off my set amount of Erechin that I owe. So now that I've taken upon myself to use these pots and pans to pay my Erechin, there's Kedusha's Erechin on them, and now I want to redeem them to pay money to get my pots and pans. So for that, Rashi says, for that reason, I need three Dayanim to now assess what these Kalim are worth, whether they're going to amount to the Erechin I know. I owe $50. That's set. The Torah said 50 shekel I owe. Will these metaltin add up to the money that I owe? So they assess those pots and pans. That's the halacha. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, if you look at the Mishnah seems to be inaccurate again. Hi Erechin ha-metaltin, it should be metaltin shel Erechin mibayla. It should be the metaltin of Erechin that are going towards Erechin. So the Gemara says, enachanami tani metaltin shel Erechin. That's how the Mishnah should be understood. And then there's a third approach to what it means, the Erechin and Metaltlin, and that's Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abahu Amar, Be'omer Erechei Alai, the person says, I owe the Erechin. I'm taking my own Erechin, and I'm obligating myself to pay Erechin to the Beis HaMikdash. So whatever age and gender I am, that's how much I pay, to set value. So now, I never set anything aside, and I have not paid my debt yet. So, Ba'koin Ligvos Mimenu. Now the coin comes in order to collect Metaltlin from my property, because I owe money to the Beis HaMikdash. So if it's coming to collect metaltlin, the halacha is b'shloshi. You need three dayanim, three kohanim, to come collect, not kohanim necessarily, but three dayanim, to come collect my metaltlin, to fulfill my debt. And karkaos, if they're coming to collect property, so then, b'asar, they have 10 people to come assess how much the property is worth to take it as a form of payment. So amrlei, rav acham, so those are the three different explanations what it means, erechin, metaltlin. So then, Amar Le Rav Acha Midifti Le Ravina. Bishma Lafuke Me Hekdesh Ba'in and Shlosha. I understand if I'm trying to remove it from Hekdesh, which means if I set my Metaltlin aside as Hekdesh, I set it aside as going to be my form of payment for my Erechin. So I understand why you need three Dayanim to say that pot and pan is worth X amount of dollars, whether it's going to remove itself from Hekdesh. To redeem it from Hekdesh, that makes sense. Ela Yule Le Hekdesh Shlosha Lamli. So it's a bit of a strange havmina. I don't really know what it means, but there is a havmina that to remove something from Hekdesh requires three, but to bring something into the world of Hekdesh the Gemara's Havamina is that it doesn't require three. So if it's according to Rabbi Abahu, where I say I owe Erchin, I haven't set aside anything to pay my Erchin. So they come ahead and they take my Metalton for the Erchin, they're bringing the La Yule, they're bringing it into Hekdesh. What do you need three people for? The Gemara asks. And the Gemara says, what do you mean? Amar Lei Svaru, it's a logic. Mali Ayule, Mali Lafuke. What's the difference whether I'm trying to remove something from Hekdesh or to bring something into Hekdesh? I need two people in both the scenarios. Because Fuke, my time, when I'm trying to remove Hekdesh from an object, what's the need for three? Because Dilma Tai, because you might make a mistake in terms of the assessment. So the same holds true, Ayule Nami Dilma Tai. When you're coming to bring something into Hekdesh, you also might make a mistake, and therefore you need three Dayanim, both La Fuke Me Hekdesh and La Yule Le Hekdesh. The Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. What's Rabbi Yehuda's statement? So Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah said that one of the 10 people for karkals has to be a Kohen. So the Gemara says, Amar le Rapapa la Abaye, Bishma le Rabbi Yehuda hainu dichsev Kohen. We understand why Rabbi Yehuda requires one of the 10 Dayanim to be a Kohen, because the Pasuk says Kohen. Ela le Rabbanan Kohen lamalu kasha. But according to Rabbanan, wait, Rabbanan, what sheet is Rabbanan? Let's review him again. Rabbanan said, so then the Gemara asks, you don't need any of them. So Rabbanan Kohen Lamalu. So why does the Pasuk say the word Kohen if you don't need any Kohanim? And the Gemara leaves off as a Kasha, unclear for Shita as Rabbanan why the Pasuk uses the word Kohen, in fact, if you don't need any Kohanim. And the Gemara leaves on a Kasha. So then the Gemara says, Karkals Tisha V'Kohen. So the Mishnah said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to a Karka, you need 10 people, but one of them has to be a Kohen. So, how do you know that 9 can be Yisraelim and 1 is the Kohen? Amar Shmuel, because Asar Kohanim, because in the Parsha. It says the word Kohen 10 times in all the Parshios of Erechim. Chalu Gufe. So, one is for the Guf, that you need a Kohen. And then, that you need a Dayan. Then the next one is Hanach Have Mit Achar Mit. Vein Mit Achar Mit El Rabba. So now you have the second Kohen, and the Kohen is a Mir, because it limits, it restricts, it disqualifies anyone else. But there's a concept, a double negative, it becomes a positive. So, mir achar mir is eino el rabos. So, the first kohen is, you need a kohen. The second one, since kohen, it's a mir achar mir, and that's the rabos. So, that comes to include even a non-kohen works. And then you have mir achar mir, so on and so forth, to the end of the parsha, all of them are coming to l'rabos yisraelim. That's according to Rabbanim. So, again, have a mir achar mir, mir achar mir el rabos, that filu tes yisrael, ve'achad kohen is kasher. So then, Maskev Rav Huna, Brei the Rav Nosson, Eima Chamisha Kohanim, Chamisha Yisraelim, Kasha. So Rashi explains, what do you mean? You have the first one says a Kohen, the next one is a Mir Achar Mit, so now that's a Yisrael, but now you start the count all over again. So now you start again, now the third one is a Kohen, so you should require a second Kohen, and then the Mir Achar Mit is coming to include a Yisrael. It should go over and over again, restarting its count. If you like a double negative is a positive, but you have three negatives, then it becomes a negative again. So how come you're doing...
So you're alternating between Israel and Kohen, so yeah, it'll be 5 and 5.
That's what it should be. So look at Rashi, just to have this clear. Rashi says, Ve'eima chamisha Kohanim chamisha Yisraelim b'ino. You really need 5 Kohanim, 5 Yisraelim. The kama l'gufa. The first one is for the guf that you need a Kohen. Sheini lo is having mid achar mid. It's a second limitation, and that becomes includes a Yisrael. Now the shlishi, the third mention, hadar, you start the count all over again. You start a new sentence, if you will. And it's tzirich l'gufa. So now it's needed that you need another Kohen. Then have a Kohen. And then the fourth one is coming to Mir Achar Mir to include a Yisrael. And that goes off back until the end. And it really should be 5 and 5. And the Gemara ends off here with a Kasha. Then the Gemara says halfway down in the two dots, Adam Kiyotzi Behem. So when it comes to the Mishnah said, if you're going to be Makdish and Adam, the lach is you also need 10 people. So the Gemara asks, Adam mi Kadosh, could I go ahead and be Makdish a person? I could be say, you're Kadosh? Does that really work? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abahu, Ba'omer Dimei Alai, not where I'm being makdish myself, but I'm saying, whatever dumb and whatever value I have, I owe that value to the Beis HaMikdash. But I'm not being makdish myself. Desani, the Braisa says, Ha'omer Dimei Alai, person says the value of myself is upon me, Shaman Osok Eved Animcha B'Shuk. We assess him how much he'd be worth if he sold as an Eved. If the Eved Ishkish L'Karkos, and we know, we saw this several times, that Eved Hukish L'Karkos is a Hekish. Just like a karka requires 10, so too an eved requires 10. Look at Tosos. Tosos writes, "Dibamaskal Adam Mikadosh." He says, "What do you mean? Why not? Vim tomar velok me be'eved de kadosh. I can make an eved kanani kadosh. I can't make you kadosh. I can't make myself kadosh. But I can't make an eved kanani kadosh. Kedamrina b'samach. We're about to see this. De mo'alin b'saro. The person makes his eved kanani hekdesh, and if he uses his hair, the se'ar of the eved kanani, there's a violation of a me'ila, which tells me that there's real kedusha. V'amar b'ashalech. The Gemara in Gittin says hamakdish nechasev. He's a guy. He makdish all of his property. Va'yu b'hem, and within his property, he's got avodim. Ain hagizmarim rashayin lahotzim lecheres. They can't let them go free because you can't let an eved go free. But there is kedusha. The gizbar owns him, so kedusha is chal on an eved kanani. So why did the Gemara say they're referring to an eved kanani here? So the answer tells us v'yeshomer de adam lamashmulei de koya eved. The word adam sounds like it's referring to a free person. Doesn't sound like it's referring to an eved. Inami halcha parech aliba de rav damar hamakdish avdo yatzel lecheres. Rav's shita is that if you are makdish eved kanani, he goes free, whereby there is no kedusha chal. So in his world, where there's no kedusha eved kanani, that's what we're talking about in the Gemara. But ein hachanami, those who argue on Rav would hold that there would be kedusha on eved kanani, and you could have suggested this in the Gemara. Gemara asks the question: Bai Rabbi Abin Seyar Haome Ligzos Bekama. So if a seyar is ready to be cut, it's very long, like most of our hairs now, we're able to cut, we should be cutting it. So now, what's the halacha? Is it kegazuz dami v'shlosha? If a guy's makdish, a person or someone's hair, is it viewed as, even though it's connected, we view it as being detached and metaltlin, requiring three people to assess its value? Or since the mice is still connected to the head, it's kemuchuber dami ubasara as part of the adam. And just like an adam requires karka 10, rather, so too the seyar connected requires 10. So the Gemara says, Toshma, HaMakdish is Avdo, person who's Makdish his own Eved Kanani, Ein Mualimbo, there is no Isser Me'ila, it's not Chal. Reshpag Omer, Molin Bisaro, there will be at least Hekdesh on the Se'ar. The Kaimulan, and the Gemara, we have a Misara, that the Bisaro HaOmer Ligzos Pligi Shmamina. So we have a Misara that this debate between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel is about the person's hair, and Eved Kanani's hair, which is so long and ready to be cut, will the Kedusha be Chal on that or not? Tanakama holds it won't be chal on it, and Rav Shimon Gamaliel says it will be chal. Has that effect to 3 or 10?
Tanakama would agree that once it's cut, it's moil.
Once it's cut, it's moil. If it's cut, it's moil, because the halacha is, look at Rashi. Rashi says, ein moalin bo, because the eved harehu kikarka, vein me'ila bakarka. A person, there is, even though hekdesh might be chal on an eved kanani, and it might even be chal on karka, there is no violation of me'ila. Me'ila doesn't apply to karka. So the Tanakama holds that there is no me'ila. He, if used the hair as being attached, still part of the body, still considered karka, which means he requires 10 people to assess the value of the hair. But according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he holds that there is me'ila. How can there be me'ila? Isn't attached to the hair, because it's viewed as kigazaz dami, it's viewed as metaltlin, and there is me'ila on metaltlin. So to answer your question, yes, the Tanakama, if it was cut,
because
it would be considered metaltlin. Exactly, it'd be considered metaltlin, and it would be me'ila. So we see from here, that this machlokas between Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, whether there's me'ila or not, hinges upon whether we view Seir's Omeid Ligzos dummy, whether that's considered karka or whether it's considered a metaltin, and the other nafkamina would be whether you need 3 dayanim or 10 dayanim. So the Gemara now says, Neima honey katanai. Maybe this machlokas tanai, miskahani tanai, is like another machlokas tanai we have elsewhere. Titznan, the Mishnah tells us that Rabbi Meir Omer, Yesh dvarim shen kakarka of enon kakarka. There's some things that are like karka, some things that are not like karka. It's partially, it's a hybrid. The vein chachamim modim lo, and the chachamim don't agree to this. Now this is very important. Those remember from Baba Kama, in the first Tosus of Meruba, they talk about their ein karka nigzeles. The Tosus brings this discussion up here, as we're about to see, whether or not this is subject to gezel or not. So this is another context we're about to see, but whether you view this situation as a karka will dictate whether there's gezel here as well. The Gemara brings his machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Tanakama, to this type of case where it's kind of like karka, and kind of not like karka. What's the case here? Ketzad. If you have eser gafanim, if you got 10 grape vines, tsunos that are very full and heavy, and masarti lecha, the guy says, I gave you 10 grape vines to watch or to borrow, and v'hala omer, the guy says, eina ela chamesh, she only gave me 5, I owe you 5. That's modim b'miktas. So we know the lach is modim b'miktas, is chai b'shvua, ki who's the pasuk says. Rabbi Meir says, you're chai to make a shvua, because it's modim b'miktas. Since the Asar Gefanim are attached to the ground, it's still considered karka. And the halacha is Ein Nishban al Karka. So we don't make shvuas on karka. So even though this is a case of modu miktas, it doesn't result in a shvu according to Chachamim. So in this case, Chacham hold it's kakarka, and Remeir holds it's not kakarka. So v'hamar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, banavim ha'om dos libatzer askinim. We're talking about not stam grapevines, we're talking about grapevines where the grapes are so full and heavy, they're ready to be plucked off. And mar savar kibitzur damyam. Since they are omeid to be cut off, so we view them as being cut off right now, and therefore they are metaltulin, and Rabbi Meir says it is modu mimiktas chai b'shvua. But Mar Sabra, the Tanakam, the Chachamim rather hold that Lav Kibitzur is Damyan. Lamaisa, they're connected to the ground sill, and therefore it's Karka, and Ein Nishban al Karka. So the Gemara wants to say, this discussion here is parallel to the discussion about hair that's Omri Ligzos, whether it's viewed as connected to the head still, or viewed as being detached already. Same exact Machlokas. So Mar says, Lo, this is not a parallel discussion. The Afilu Tema Rabbi Meir. Im Rabbi Meir holds, Ad kan lo kamen Rabbi Meir hasam kom kama deshavke le michash kachshi. When it comes to the grapes, there, the longer you keep the grapes on, the worse it actually gets. Once it gets to the peak, and you leave it longer, it gets worse. So you don't want to keep it on there, you rather, so it's inevitable, you're going to cut them off as soon as possible. In that scenario, he says, it's viewed as being detached. About the se'aro, kol kama deshavke, so long as you leave the hair, even though it's ready to get a haircut, it actually gets better and stronger. So in that situation, Rabbi Meir holds, maybe he would hold, that it's still considered attached to the body and would be considered kikarkadam. Okay, the Gemara now says, Dina Nefashos v'chule. Came to Dina Nefashos, we said that you need 23 dayanim. So the Gemara says, Kaposik v'tani, and the Gemara says just across the board, there is no distinction, Loshna Rovea Zachar, Loshna Rovea Nekeva. Let's talk about the case of Mishka Behema. So the halacha is that Mishka says when in the case of a Rovea, a person and an animal, so then you need 23 dayanim. So it doesn't make a difference whether it's an animal and a male, and an animal and a man and an animal and a woman. It doesn't make a difference. So Gemara says, Bishma, I understand the case of Rovea Nekeva. The pasuk clearly says you kill both a woman and the animal who's a roveah her. That makes sense. That the pasuk clearly says. As the roveah zachar minala, how do you know if it's a man is involved with the animal? How do you know if there's a din the misa? It doesn't say anywhere in the pasuk. The Gemara says dichsiv kol shochev in behema mosumas. Any person who is shochev with an animal, he dies. Now, it may not end in the shochev if it's not about shochev. We already have the case of shochev. So Taneu Inyan Lenishkov. So have it taught by case of a Nishkov. And the Gemara says, V'afke Rachmana Blushan Shochev, Lakushi Nishkov LaShochev, to make a hekesh of a Nishkov or a Shochev. Ma Shochev Hu HaBehemto Be'esim Mishlosh. Just like a person who's Shochev on an animal is with 23, so to Afa Nishkov, one who's Nishkov from an animal, Hu Behemto Be'esim Mishlosha, regardless of the direction, it's always going to be Chai Misa with 23 Dayanim. Gemara now says last few lines of the Amud here. Sure, Niskal Be'esim Mishlosha, sure, who's going to get stoned for killing a person, he needs 23. Any animal needs 23 dayanim. Shinamar, the Pazik says, Hashor Yisakel V'gam Balav Yumas. The animal gets stoned and the person, the owner, gets killed, literally, it says. We don't learn it that way, but that's what the Pazik literally means. So, Kemisis Habailim, Kach Misis Hashor. This shor is going to be killed in the exact same manner as the person would be killed, the owner would be killed. And just like the Baal requires 23, so too the shore who's being stoned requires a dayanim of 23. So Amar Le Abai Le Rava Mimai Dehai V'Gam Baal of Yumas L'Chamises Baalim Kach Mises Ashur. How do you know those words of a Gam Baal of Yumas is coming to tell me to equate the way the person gets killed is the way the shore gets killed? Hudasa. Maybe I'm going to suggest going on to the top of Amar Beis now. Ema L'Ktala Hudasa. Maybe it's coming to tell you that L'Maisa you're supposed to kill the owner of the shore. It says Rashi in the top here, Eima l'ktala, l'chai misa l'bailav, to kill the owner of the shore. V'nechai v'misa, v'heichem afkinon le'im p'shat l'gamar. How could you say, the pasuk means, gam baal of yumas means he's going to die. So where do we get away with saying that el can't mean he's going to die? Let's reinterpret the pasuk. It's explaining how the shore gets stoned. That's very strange. So the Gemara says, de'im kein l'chtal v'gam baalav, v'lishtok. And it should say, and the animal, the owner also. Because we already said the shore yiskal. So once you're saying the shore is Yisakel, rather, so then we should say the Gambalov and the owner also. Why is it Gambalov Yumas, the extra word Yumas? It must be for a drasha. So Gemara says, "E kas rachmana hachi." Had the pasuk said "gam baalav" and been silent, so I would have said, "Yes, the baal would have been killed." But I would have thought beskila, he should get stoned, just like the shore is being stoned. So too, he's getting stoned. So maybe it says "baalav you gam baalav you must" to tell me he doesn't get stoned, the owner, but he gets killed with sayif. So Gemara says, "Beskila sakadaitach." We would never have thought to give the guy skila, because katal iu besayif mamona beskila. If the guy himself murdered with his own hands, he gets sayif. But if his animal is the one who kills, is he going to get a worse punishment of skila? That doesn't make any sense. So there's never a havamina to suggest that the baal would have gotten stoned. So had the pasuk said, "Shor yisakel v'gambalav gambalav," I would have understood the baal is going to die also, and he's going to die with sayif, no different than had he killed someone with his own hands, he'd get sayif. He'd also get killed with sayif for his animal killing someone. But never would there be a havamina that he would get skila. So when the pasuk says gam baalav, the extra word yumas, it's really unnecessary that yumas is telling us a drasha that no, he's not actually going to get killed. It's coming to explain how the shor gets stoned. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Dilma hai dechaz rachmana yumas. Maybe the word yumas is saying lakule alave lafuki misayif lechenek. Maybe it's coming to give him a lesser punishment. Maybe when the person kills on his own right, so that's when he gets sayif. But maybe when his animal kills, he should only get chenek, a lower punishment. And that's what Yumas is coming to tell me, that he gets a lesser punishment. So the Gemara says, Hanich l'man damer chenek chamer. This all makes sense if you assume chenek is more chamer, so then there's nothing, sayif is the least punishment. There's nowhere lower to go. So then the fact that it says Yumas tells me that to drasha that he's not really dying, it's explaining how the shor gets killed. But El is still a kashya, Laman Damer Chenek kill Maikla Meimar. If you assume Einachanami, the Chenek is lower than Saif, so maybe the word Yumas is telling me that he shouldn't get Saif like when he killed someone with his own bare hands, but when his animal kills, he gets a Yumas, a lesser punishment. He should get Chenek instead. So how do you know from this pasuk that Baal of Yumas, Gam Baal of Yumas, means that the shor gets killed this way and to exempt the Baal from punishment? Maybe he really is getting killed himself. The Gemara says, Lo sakadaitech, a person would never have thought that the owner should get killed. Why? The pasuk says, im kofar yushas alav. If it's a kofar, yushas alav. What does that mean? So this is the rest of that pasuk here. It's a pidyon nafsho, he's being poed to himself. So the Gemara explains, now, isakadaitech bar katalahu. If the guy really should be getting killed, so he shouldn't have to pay any money, he shouldn't pay any kofar. Because the halacha is, if a person's sure kills a person, right? My shor killed someone, so my shor gets killed and I owe a kofar. I have to pay the family of the yorshin, I need to pay them of the mace, I need to pay the money. So now, if I'm paying money, if I'm also getting killed as well, I'm not going to have to pay kofar. Because again, if you think the Baal HaShor is being killed, he doesn't also have to pay a kofar. So from the fact that the Baal HaShor is paying a kofar, must be that he's not being killed. So then, therefore, there is never a havamina that the Baal HaShor would be killed. Mar says, what do you mean? Adraba, the opposite you could learn. Mishum hi gufa, that itself tells me, kaltel ihu lo tiskile b'mamona. If he himself killed, he's not going to be able to pay a kofar. But if his Baal kills, so you could learn, if he pays kofar, he's off the hook. But if he doesn't get paid, so then if he doesn't pay up the kofar, maybe he would have to be killed. Maybe that's what to learn from. So again, right now the Gemara's suggestion is, if the Baal HaShor, the shore kills someone, the Baal HaShor needs to be killed as well. But if he pays kofar, he's off the hook. If he doesn't pay kofar, he is not off the hook. That's what we're learning from this point. So the Gemara says, Ela b'ktala, katel shora, lifta nakshe, b'mamona. So again, katal shor, if his shor kills, he's able to lift ok nafshi b'mamona. He could redeem himself with paying mamon. If he doesn't pay mamon, then ena chanami, he'd have to be killed. But right now, the Gemara thinks that really he should be killed if his animal kills a person. So how do you know that the baal shor is off the hook?
And to be killed by chanek.
By chanek, exactly. By chanek. So the word yumas tells me it's a lesser punishment. No, but exactly. So the Gemara then says, if you hold the other way around, everything's fine. Though. According to the other mandamar, that saif is the least of the mises, then everything makes sense. So if you assume that chenek is more chamer, so that's where we're stuck. Chenek is more kal, then we're stuck. So the Gemara says, the final understanding is as follows. El Amr Chizki v'chein tana de Chizki Amr Kra Mos Yumas Hamake Rotzeach Rotzeach Hu Avet Shichasa. The pasuk says you kill the Rotzeach. So again, Mos Yumas Hamake Rotzeach Hu. The extra word Hu Avet Shichasa Atahorgo on his own murder. When he kills with his own hand, that's when he himself gets killed. That's when it's Mos Yumas. But V'Yatahorgo Avet Shichasa Sharo. He doesn't get killed if his animal murdered someone else. And based on this pasuk, we know there never was a havamina that the Baal Shor is going to be killed. So therefore, it's available to make the drasha. Gam HaBaal of Yumas is telling me that the way the Baal gets killed in a different circumstance, that's exactly the way we have the Shor stone, namely with the Bezdin of 23. So the Gemara asks the question now, Ibarilu Shor Sinai Bekama. A Shor, what's a Shor B'Sinai? How many dayam do you need to kill a Shor B'Sinai? So Rashi explains it's a case where we know in Har Sinai no animal is able to come close to Har Sinai. Let's say they did come close to Har Sinai, the halacha is you have to kill them. So what type of bezdin did you need to kill such a shor? Bekama. Mi gamar shah, mi dorish. Can you learn a case of shah? That was harash shah. That was a one-time event. But Har Sinai, can you learn that from doros, that you need 23? The doros also, for that shah, you need 23? Alo, or perhaps you cannot learn shah, mi doros. So the Gemara says, Tashma detani Rami bar Yecheskel im behema im ish lo yichya ma'ish b'chav gimel at behema b'chav gimel. They make a drasha here that you always need 23 even b'shah. So just look at Rashi for a second. Rashi ma'ish b'chav gimel, just like an ish requires 23, di'ish pshitalon. It was obvious at Har Sinai if a man approached the Har Sinai he'd get 23. That was obvious. Why? The kfar hukval Yisrael sanhedrios mi Yisrael. Because the parsha of Har Sinai took place after the parsha of Yisrael, and we already given the halachas of the Sanhedrin. So 23 we knew definitely applied to man if he approached Har Sinai. The only debate was about behema, to which we learned from Yecheskel, from the pasuk rather in the Shemos in Yisrael, that the animal also requires 23, just like an ish requires 23. Now Tosa asks the question you're probably all bothered with. Look at Tosa's Dibamaschel Shor, the second half of that Tosa's Vim Tomar. He says, last seven lines or so from this pair, this Tosfos, Im Tomar, Ma'ikim Ibarli, what's the Shailam Yishor Sinai? Why are we asking about Shor Sinai? Dimanashach Mine, Dimanafkim Mine, rather. Ma'i Dehav Hava, whatever happened, happened. Who cares what happened? This is all, it's an old story. The Chain Kashi Beperek Bez, the Mesechas of Odazara, Bimashimish Moshe Kol Shiva Yimei Mulim. What Moshe Beno wear during Shiva Yimei Mulim? Who cares what he wore? Ma'i Dehav Hava. So answers Tosfos, Veshema Mibarli, maybe there was no real nafkamina, but he wanted to know how to understand the psukim. That was the only reason for asking such a question. Okay, then the Gemara says, look at one more Tosfos here. Tosfos says, "Mi gamrinan shah midoros olo." Tosfos says, "Tema ha afilu doros midoros leyafinan leel to mibari lan kra l'roveya v'nirva v'shor niskal." We don't even learn doros for doros, things that are more congruent. So certainly we shouldn't learn Shah from Doros. What's the Havamina? You can't learn Doros from Doros. So why can you learn Shah from Doros? And Tosas answers, V'yesh Lomar, D'hacha Islay L'melef Tfei. Actually, there's room to learn Shah more so from Doros than it is to learn Doros from Doros. Why? We add above that why do you learn, just like the case of Rovev and Nirva, is a case of Doros. It's a current event. It could happen that you require 23. So why don't you say the case of Shor Niskal, which is also Ludoros, should also be 23? If you have, okay. So we had to find another pasuk, Gam Baal of Yumas. So he said, because there's more reason to learn Shah of the case of Har Sinai from Doros. Why? Because Yesh Lomar Dehacha Islan Lemelev Tvei Mishum Dechol Dine Skila Yafin Lekamar Misinai. Sinai is a whole source of Skila. We learn Skila from the pasuks of Minayin Shebibdechiyahu Tamalar Yara Minayin Shebiskila Tamalar Sakal. So these are psukim that serve to, how do you know you throw the guy off the cliff for Skila and then you actually stone him? That's learned from Har Sinai. So you see, Har Sinai is really the source of Mises Bezdin. So there's room to say that even the Shah of Behema should be learned from Doros, because we see that equation in other contexts of Mises Bezdin. Okay, Gemara now says, two dots halfway down the Amud here, Ha'ari, Va'azev, and so on and so forth, the whole list of wild animals. So the Mishnah had to debate, what do you do with a wild animal that kills? So according to the Mishnah, you require 23 like any other Mises of an animal, but Rabbi Eliezer felt that Kol HaKodem Lehorgo Zoche, whoever comes first to kill, he actually is considered Zoche. So what's going on here? Amar Reish Lakish, who shemiso? You could only kill the animal, the ari or the zeev or the nachash, if that animal killed. Aval lohemiso, if the animal never killed, he can't just go ahead and shoot a lion in its head. So why not? Alma kasavar yeshlan tarbus v'yeshlan bailum. This assumes that you can tame a wild animal. There's such a thing as taming a lion and taming a tiger. There is tarbus. There is raising them if they're trained properly. And then the owner is considered an owner, and you can't just kill someone's object. We could train them. If he kills, so now that's already considered dangerous. That's a shitas Reish Lakish. But Rabbi Yochanan argues and says, Omer, afa pish lo himiso, even if this lion never killed anyone, you could still kill him right away. Why? Because he assumes Alma, Kasavar Ein Lem Tarbus. There's no such thing as taming a lion. You can't tame a tiger, Vein Lem Bailam. And even if a person claims he owns an animal, that's not considered owned. That's considered Hefker. And we can't trust such an animal can be tamed. So that's a very, very important machlokas here between Reish Lakish and Yochanan. And just taking a quick look at the Ein Mishpat, it sounds like from the Rambam, we passing like Reish Lakish, that one can actually train these wild animals. Not sure why I normally passing like Rabbi Yochanan, I don't know the background, but let's see. I think because later on the Gemara is going to bring a Braisa that supports Reish Lakish, that's probably why the Rambam passing like Reish Lakish, that there is the Yesh Lam Tarbus.
The sheet of the Mishnah is that they have a din,
right, but here... No, but here we see if the Ein Mishpat is quoting from Rambam's passing like Reish Lakish within the world of the Tanakhama here. So let's see what the Gemara says. Gemara now quotes the Mishnah. Tanan, the Mishnah says in the beginning of the Sanhedrin here, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Kol HaKodim Lahargon Zacha. Whoever kills him first, whoever's first come, first serve, gets his Zoche. So what's his Zoche? What's his Zechus he gets? So Bishma, the Rabbi Yochanan, the Mai Zacha, Zacha La'oron. So Rabbi Yochanan says, if you see a lion, you could just shoot that lion, and you kill him, and you're able to keep the skin, the hides, is something you could use. Make yourself a coat. El Reish Lakish, Lamai Zacha, what do you zochen? Because Kaven, according to Reish Lakish, you're only allowed to kill the animal if he killed first. Kaven Shemiso. So then, Shavinu Rabbanan Keman de Gamar Dinayu V'Isur Hananinu. So then, when this animal kills, it's as if it received a psakdin. And the loch is an animal that has a psakdin to be killed, it's Asir Behana. So now, what's the zechus you're getting from Reish Lakish? You can't get any hana from the ore. So the Gemara says, "My zacha, zacha l'shemayim, your zacha l'shemayim." You got a zechus. Rashi says, interestingly, tzedakah asa. You did a tremendous tzedakah. You did a chesed for everyone else. You protected everyone else's life. Because after you saw that this lion killed someone else, and you shot it in the head, you protected the rest of the world from this dangerous lion. And that's a zechus you get. You get a zechus in Shemayim. Now this becomes a very interesting case here. I've mentioned this in the past. There are a few instances where you have like a Mises Bezdin, which is not a real Mises Bezdin, but the Torah treats you like a Mises Bezdin. So for example, you have the case of Kanim Pogimbal, that the Rashi, and later on we'll see in the Masech, that seems to imply that there's a Mises Bezdin to Kanim Pogimbal, even though you're not allowed to ask the Bezdin, you can't consult with the Bezdin, you just go ahead and kill. Or the case of Bal Machteres, where you're allowed to kill him, even though you didn't ask Bezdin, there's no real Edim there. Or the case of Rodef. All these situations where you're allowed to kill and defend yourself, different scenarios that has an extension of a Mises Bezdin, even though it's not really with Dayanim and Edim. So this would be another example. The Gemara says, Kaven Shehemisu Shavini Rabbanan Kiman de Gemar Merdinayu. It's as if a Psakdin came down and becomes an extension of a Mises Bezdin that's given over to an individual to take matters into his own hands. It's also parallel to the Sugis in Baba Kama about Avid Inish Dina Denafshe. A person takes matters into his own hands, not about Misa, but a person owes me money, doesn't pay me back. Sometimes I could go ahead and take the money on my own. And Rashi there in Baba Kama says he's viewed as a Shliach Bezdin, an extension of Bezdin, even though he was never formally appointed. So this again would be another type of example. Okay. Gemara now says the two dots, Rabbi Kiva, Omer Vechula. So this is Rabbi Kiva that you're referring to before. So what was Rabbi Kiva Shita? What is did I skip? Tani Kavasi Reish Lakish, he holds Echad Shur Shehemis, Vechad Behema Vechaya Shehemis, Bechav Gimel. Whether it's an ox, whether it's any other type of a wild animal, even a domesticated animal, if they kill, the lach is you need 23. Rabbi, so that's a Brisa that supports the Shita of Reish Lakish, that only if Hemis, only if it actually kills, are you allowed to kill the animal. So that's the reason why probably Raman Paskin is like Reish Lakish. We'll see Rabbi Kiva in just a second though. Then Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Shur Shehemis Be'esim Vishlosha, Vishar Behema Vachaya Shehemiso Kola Kodim Lahargan Zachabem Lishemayim. So Rabbi Eliezer agrees to Rabbi Reish Lakish, only if the animal kills are you allowed to kill the animal, but there's a distinction. a shore that kills, we have a little bit of a patience, and we can take him to a Bezdin and take him to 23. But if any other animal kills, the halacha is you kill them right away. So he's more of a hybrid shita. So then comes along Rabbi Akiva. What's Rabbi Akiva's shita in the Mishnah? He said the Misa is 23. So Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, Hainu Tanakama. That's the same exact opinion as the Tanakama, which also required 23. So the Gemara says, Ika Banayu Nachash, the Nafkamina is a snake. What's a nafkamina? Look at Rashi, last five narrow lines in the page here. Ika Banayu Nachash, the Tanakama Chashivle Bahadei Hanach Ubai Chavgimel. That list that Tanakama gave of different animals, he put the snake on that same list. It also requires 23. But Rabbi Akiva, Be'incha Svirle, Kavasa Bar Menachash, he agreed that they all require 23, with the exception of a snake, as the Gemara says, that Nachash is Mu'ad Li'olam, it's always very dangerous, so therefore you don't require 23, rather you kill the snake right away. Let's go a little further. The Gemara now says that Ain Danin V'chulei. What was the Mishnah talking about in this case here? It's talking about a situation that you can only judge a Shevet al pi Bezdin shel Shivim Ve'echad. If a certain Shevet, Yehuda, Binyamin, whatever Shevet it is, requires a certain judgment, you require a full Sanhedrin to judge them. So the Gemara asks, Hai Shevet D'chata B'mai. What was the sin that this Shevet did that they required to go to Sanhedrin, or Sanhedrin to go to them? Ilei Moshe Shevet Shechalas Shabbos. If it's a Shevet that was Mechal Shabbos, they have to go to have a Sanhedrin of 71. So how do you know that? Ema de Palig Rachmana Ben Yechidim LeMerubim LeInyan Avodas Kochavim B'Shar Mitzvos MiPalig. We have a distinction that when it comes to individuals violating Avodah Zarah versus a tzibur violating Avodah Zarah, that distinction exists for an Ir Den Dachas, a Mesis. And we have these types of distinctions between a single individual versus a whole tzibur. But how do we don't find such a distinction in any other area of the Torah. So Ella, it must be a case b'shevet shehudach. It can't be a shevet that was violating Echil Shabbos. It must be that they were hudach, that they were convinced to do Avodah Zarah. It became an ir nedachas. So the name resists to say, d'bedina d'rabim d'aninolei, we view them as being a rabim. What's the case here? How can we rabim? Kiman. Lo Rabbi Yoshia v'lo Rabbi Yonasan. This doesn't go like either one. Who's Rabbi Yoshia? Who's Rabbi Yonasan? Disanya. Ad kama osin ir nedachas. What's considered ir nedachas? Me esara v'ad mea divrei Rabbi Yoshia. Between 10 and 100, that's considered a ir nedachas. And Rabbi Yonasan omer me mea v'ad rubo shel shevet. Between 100 and most of the city, most of the Shevet rather, that's considered Ir Nedachas. So just look at Rashi for a second, Lememra. Lememra, the Shevet Shalem, Shehudach, Bedina, Derabim, Daininalei, Kedina, Dir Nedachas, Demikre Merubim, Daininalei, Besaif, Vesanhedra Gedola. Is really true when an entire Shevet now becomes one big Ir Nedachas, many Ir Nedachas. We view them really as a Rabim? That can't be true. Because Rabbi Yoshia says that only between 10 and 100 people would be look around, sorry, next Rashi. Me'asar v'ad me'ah, but me'asar lo mikir. Less than 10 people violated it, became a hudchan. That's not considered a city. That's just a few people. Tremei me'ah, more than 100 people. Nafka mitarsi, that's not considered a city anymore. Havalu tzibor, that's called a tzibor. And a tzibor lo k'siv saif. There is no Indian of saif, of ir nedachas, when it comes to a tzibor. Once you've got more than 100 people, that's more than a city, that's a tibor, and you never wipe out a tibor. Each person is going to be judged independently with skila, not with saif. So according to Rabbi Yoshia, it's between 10 and 100 people, that's in Adachas. According to Rabbi Yonasan, it's between 100 people till most of the shevet, that's called a city. But once you have more than a shevet, that's called a tzibor. So if the whole shevet now requires being judged, that wouldn't be a hudach, that would not be an ir nedachas, that would be considered a tzibor, and we have no din of ir nedachas when it comes to entire shevet. So the Gemara says, Afilu Rabbi Yonasan lokamar el arubo, avala kulolo. And even Rabbi Yonasan, who says, from 100 people to most of shevet's called the ir nedachas, he only says most. But once you go above that, once the entire nation, the entire Shevet rather, is Hudcha, that's no longer considered Ir Nedachas. That's considered a Tzibor, and you don't apply the Dinam Ir Nedachas to a Tzibor. So what's a case where the entire Shevet is going to be judged? So the Gemara says, Amar of Masna, Hacha, what's the case here going on to the top of Tezai now? Hacha, Benasi Shevet, Shechata, Askina. We're talking about a case where the Nasi, that Shevet, he sinned. So Milo Amar Revada Barava Kol Adavar Gadol Yavi Alecha. Every big matter you bring, bring to you. Dvar Shah Gadol Hai Nami Gadol. So this is the matters of a Gadol, the matters of a Nasi. So if it's a Nasi of a Sheva, that's considered a Gadol, and that's the case that will go to the Sanhedrin Hagadol. Should we stop here? I guess. I think we'll stop here because the Gemara is going to give a few more suggestions. Sorry.
What was the din of Plegish
to give? The din of Plegish.